dodo night.
That's what I'm saying. Do it. No, that's no, that. We're doing it now. You gotta do it.
And someday a thrash metal.
Screamo.
When the people let you know, no, like you. And your treasure. Do it to this podcast. Where you are on official friends.
It works for me. Yeah. Hey guys.
Hi.
Working out some angst today, I believe.
I hope everybody
Hey Larry.
Are you recording?
Yeah, is everybody recording?
I am. Okay.
Oh good. Right off the bat, let's cover something. Yesterday, we both Josh and I emailed Larry. And Larry then comes back and sends a text and says, I thought you were going to email me. And Josh says, well, I did. I did email you. And he's like, oh, I'll check that account. And then this morning, I send out a link for this this podcast. And I send it to Larry, like, you know, 10 minutes early. And then he finally texts, you know, I don't know, 5 minutes after Josh and I have already convened. You going to send a link ever?
All right. All right, let me...
And I... Hold on, no, let me finish. No,
okay.
Let me just finish. So I text him, I'm like, oh, I sent it to X address. He's like, oh, hold on, I'll go check. And I forwarded it to another address to, just to make sure you had it. Our question is, Larry, why do you have so many burner accounts?
All right, first of all, let me defend myself on every point, all right? So, when we were texting each other, I came up with an idea for a future episode, and I wanted you guys to give me information that I could use for that episode, but send it to me separately. And I can even check, actually, right now for the particular verbiage that I used just to see. All right. So I did say email separately so I have time to prep. So that's on me. But Andy texts me the information, does not email me the information.
And this has nothing to do with my inability to follow instructions.
And
this is not the issue.
And part of my confusion is every time we've done this kind of episode in the past, you guys have texted me. So when Josh says sent, he followed my instructions. I did not remember that I had said email, but Andy had not followed my instructions and texted me. So when he said that, fine. So now, as far as the link goes, for the past 9 weeks, that link has been sent to one address and one address only.
Can we
and
just,
it's the one we've been using.
Can we
and
just
then
agree?
Suddenly today, Andy. So I feel like, Your Honor, when you take all these facts into account, It's chemo brain over there who does not seem to have recovered all his mental faculties quite yet and is trying to put his inability to do simple tasks on others. And I think that's unfortunate.
All right. I think we've sufficiently rubbed each other's rhubarb. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast. No,
don't you ever rub my rhubarb again.
Let's just all agree that from now on, we're going to use the Larry Morgan 420 at Gmail address. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, this is the Your Artificial Friends podcast. We are your artificial friends. That's Larry Morgan, the one who's really fussy. That's Josh Morgan. Josh Morgan?
Oh, I see. Okay. Josh. Let's keep track. Let's keep track today.
Josh Fligger.
Jeez.
And
wish I had my own bell.
And Sam Morgan is on assignment. Are you? Sam Farmer.
Andy, can you triple check that you're recording? I just want to make sure. Is there things moving on the screen when you talk? Are you good?
Yeah, it's a good idea to check it. Heavens. Hi, guys. Good to see you.
Hey.
We had a little week off there. Last weekend, we had an end-of-summer trip that we had planned for months, and we undertook that trip. So we missed you when we were out of town. Oh. Did everybody have a great weekend last week?
Yeah.
Sure. It was nice not to have to do this bullshit.
Andy, you know where we were?
I don't know. Did you remember where you were going last weekend?
You know where we were is about, I'm going to guess, gosh, how many miles would it be? Probably about 90 miles, I would say about 80, 90 miles east of where you are.
Really?
We were at the Sequoias.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's a little further north.
Is it further north? Yeah. Okay, we're trying to think of what beach would we hit if we went due west. And I guess it would be a little bit north of Cambria, huh?
What little town were you?
We went to Little River, Three Rivers, right at the gate of the Sequoias there. So it's like Visalia is right in line with it, mm-hmm. And so I guess straight across. We were trying to figure out what beach would be there, but. While you check that out, mm-hmm. A lovely trip. It really was great.
Now, did you go camping?
No. Hotel? We stayed at an Airbnb place there. This beautiful cabin on a beautiful ranch, access to the river. It's just wonderful. And, basically had it to ourselves. We didn't, see another soul pretty much most of the time we were there. But it was just, wonderful. It's scary to see how low the river is.
Yeah.
The snowpack was just pitiful this last year. And, it drives home how fragile and precious our resources are. But we had a great visit. And one of the things we did, the last couple of times we went, we then took part of one day and we drove into the Sequoias. We drove up into the, National Sequoia Park. And it's a bit of an ordeal. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to see. What did Reagan say? You see one tree, you've seen them all. it's really amazing to see, General Sherman, the biggest living thing on the planet, and besides my Johnson.
And, oh, boy.
And, yeah. And to see the wonderful trees, they're simply amazing. But it is kind of true. It's like, to fight these crowds to go and look at these trees that we've already seen and taken pictures with. It wasn't as exciting to me as maybe going off the beaten path a little bit. So what we did, I wanted to go. I've always passed this sign. This road said Mineral King this way. Mineral King, 12 miles this way. And it sounded like a great store,
or a town.
No, it's a town. And I'm like, God, that sounds like a great place to go, doesn't it? Mineral King. And
unless it's a bunch of factories or something where they're digging iron ore out of the ground and stripping it.
Well, we undertake this trip. I get everybody to sign off on taking this trip. This road, okay, we start going down. It has. And someone counted. I saw a plaque where it had it written when we got to the top. It said there were 639 turns in this road.
Okay.
And it takes an hour to go like 15 miles because you can only go 25 miles an hour.
Anybody get car sick?
Everybody got car sick. Everybody except me because I was driving, right? And so they're all just turning green as we go up there. Lara has to get out of the car and just breathe a couple of times. So does Silas. And so anyway, we're going up this road and we're driving in the Prius and we start out. We just have two bars of gas on there. And I'm starting to take this road up there. Then there's one bar. And then the little gas pump light comes on. And I'm like, holy shit. If we don't get to this place soon, I know it's a Prius, and I know that after that even the last bar goes away, I have 50 miles that I can go before we run out of fuel. And then I've got the electric, car for a little bit, but sure would suck to run out of fuel on this deserted road in the mountains where there's no cell service at all, and we're talking an hour or so, a couple hours hike for me to get anywhere to find someone.
And you have zero idea about how many services are at the
right,
destination.
You don't even know what it is. Exactly. It could just be like a one house town. It'd be nothing.
Yeah. Thoroughly regretting shitting bricks the entire way up there that I should have gotten gas before we did this. We pass a ranger. I flag him down as he's going the opposite direction. I'm like, because the nav said that we were there. And I said, and there's nothing anywhere near there. It's just mountain road, right? I look around. I'm more likely to see a bear than a fucking cabin. And I flagged this guy down. I said, so this place, Silver Springs, it's up further this way? He goes, oh, yeah, it's like 10 miles or 10 minutes back that way. I'm like, okay. And he looks at me and goes, everything all right? I said, well, just kind of trying to gauge the gas situation. You're sure? It's just like 10 minutes. He goes, yeah, there's no gas up there, though. I said, yeah, I know. I think I can do it, but yeah, thank you. And so I keep going. And then we pass somebody else a little bit later. And I'm like, shit, this has to be there soon, right? And this guy says, yeah, yes, it's 2 minutes up further this way. So we finally pull up to this place, and it's amazing. It's this great lodge that we go to up there, and there's almost nobody there. But this lodge is really nice. Nice cabins. Like, some of the cabins go up to like $600 a night, but they're like these big chalets, right, with built-in, you know, bathroom and kitchen and all this stuff that sleep six, and they're wonderful. The bathrooms there, the outdoor bathrooms, are nicer than our indoor bathrooms. They were pristine. They're really, really nice facilities there. And they had a restaurant, this gastropub, with one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my life.
Oh, what? Yeah,
like this tri-tip sandwich and these craft beers and stuff. I mean, this place was amazing. I'm like, I want to stay here. This is great. But as we're getting ready to head out, I say to the waitress who was checking us out at the check stand, I said, yeah, so I see there's a old antique gas pump out here. That's just for showing, I'm guessing. There's no gas around here, yeah? And she said, why? And I said, well, you know,
because I want to burn the town down. Was, what do you think?
It was further than the nav said, and I'm kind of, I'm on a little, you know, almost on fumes. And she goes, oh, well, for $10, I could get you a gallon of gas that we have for emergencies. Let me check into that. Well, the guy brings out this gallon of gas. They don't have a funnel to get it into my car. The comedy that ensues of trying to get a gallon of gas in my car was ridiculous. But it was, the long story short, we made it back down. It was, Laura turned green again. She turned purple. I know. She had to finally drive because she was just sickened by it. But it was a really wonderful trip to the Sequoias. And it's great to get out of town for on a day trip like that, 3 hours each way, and get to nature for a little while. Get the kids off the fucking screens for a few minutes. Yeah. And it was a wonderful trip. So thanks, everybody, for letting us pause for a week.
Excellent. Well, now, what's the name of the place? Because you said mineral something, and then you referred to Silver Springs.
Yeah. Oh, the resort we went to that we visited that day, that place was called Silver Springs Resort.
Gotcha.
But where we stayed was in Three Rivers, the town right there.
But the sign, now you know what? Never mind. Yeah.
Where's Mineral Springs?
No, Mineral King.
That's what you said originally. All right.
Yeah, I don't think we ever got to Mineral King. I think that's even further down the road or on the other side of the mountain.
Gotcha.
But on the way to Mineral King was this you know, bucolic campground, this resort that's hidden away in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there are cheaper places than $600 there. If you don't want a bathroom, you can stay, you know, in a shack for, you know, a couple $100. But honest to God, if it weren't for having, you know, whining kids walking around all the time saying, I'm bored, Laura and I would have fucking loved to be there for a week.
So do you think the waitress was like, all right, I got to get the fucking 1 gallon gas can and go 30 miles to get another gallon because this schmuck drove all the way up here with no fuel? You think it's obviously obvious that this has happened many a time.
No, I think that waitress went back to a back storage room where there were 50 gallons of gas lined up in individual, and it's like, we're making $10 portions. A pop, man. I mean, the markup on that is, I mean, obviously gas prices have gone up, but hey, they're doubling their money there.
I'll sell you this 1 gallon of gas for $10, but this funnel costs 50.
Yeah, the gas cans are labeled dipshit number one, dipshit number two. Yeah, no, I felt like an asshole. I felt like a sufficiently stupid.
You didn't know. You went on an adventure. It ended up being fine. You found a beautiful place, and you only made your family slightly nauseous most of the
twice.
Time, which is pretty common for you. So I think, by the way, just for the record, if you had gone due west from where you were and three whatever rivers, you would end up more in Big Sur.
That's what I said. No. Son of a bitch. Yeah. I said that, and Laura said, no, that's too far north. Nope. They're too far north.
You would have been closer. Is that what she sounds like?
Yeah,
you would have been closer to Carmel than to Cambria. But
yeah, she doesn't listen. I think I'm safe.
Yeah, my wife gave up on this podcast months ago.
Yeah. She doesn't listen to this. She doesn't listen to you. I get the trend here. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, she listens to Gina's podcast. She doesn't listen to ours. Sure. It's hurtful. Maybe if we talked, about vaginas and stuff, maybe.
Well, we could. You want to do the vagina? You want to do the vagina episode?
Ring the bell, please.
That's so sexist and awful. Yeah. I even surprised myself on that.
This is the annual yearly vagina episode. We got to do.
Yeah. Like Sports Illustrated's swimsuit issue. People are they're avid followers of our annual vagina episode.
And much like most of our other episodes, we'll be talking about something we know nothing about. So
the vagina episode. That's the title.
Okay.
There's the misleading title.
Now it is. Well, now it is the vagina episode. Uh-huh. Let's mark our calendars because we have to do this every year. We at least have to mention it and then call it, part two.
That's right. So if you have comments or questions about the vagina episode, how can they reach us, Larry?
Yeah, share your vagina stories at joshuajfleeger@gmail.com.
Yeah. Woo! I love it. Oh, one thing. I want to talk about fungus for just a second.
Which vagina to fungus, Jesus.
That is a hard left turn there, buddy.
Exactly. Woo.
There's no room for me to do my fun guy bit. So
on the way out of there, in this little place called Lemon Cove, I believe. It's a agricultural spot.
He's making up all of these names.
I was just about to say that. He's just making this shit up as he goes along.
This was a dream he had last night, Larry.
He doesn't even know he's on a podcast right now. He thinks he's telling Laura about a dream that he had.
We go into this store, this roadside place, and they had a bunch of, it was, the shop with, little, boutique soaps Chachkies and candles and, and all kinds of stuff like that. And
did
they
you
also
buy a loaf
had
of soap?
No, I didn't. Okay. Did not buy a soap loaf. Soap loaf. Soap loaf?
Soap loaf?
Soap loaf. Say soap loaf five times fast.
Soap loaf, soap loaf, soap loaf, soap loaf, soap loaf.
Anywho, one thing that I find when I look at the counter, I see in the case underneath the cash register there, I see these bags of these brown things. I'm like, what is that? And I lean down, I look, I'm like, are those morel mushrooms? And she said, oh yeah, you want some? I'm like, well, how much are they? I mean, and they were like, sandwich bags, Ziploc sandwich bags full, like packed full of morels. I'm thinking, well, shit, those are going to be like $70 a bag, I bet. I said, well, how much are they? And she said, oh, they're $12. I'm like, yes, absolutely, I will. So I brought home a bag of morel. I'm like, are these from around here? And he goes, oh, yeah, there's a lot of these up in the hills. They find them. I'm like, well, yes, I'll take these. I have not made them yet, but I cannot wait. Have you ever had morels, Josh?
No, I've never even heard of them.
Larry, have you?
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah, I've cooked with those.
Now, what are you gonna make with them? Like what?
Well, here's what I'm gonna do. This is what my mom used to do with these. I'm gonna take. They're dried, so you've got to reconstitute them a little bit. So I'm gonna take them. I'm gonna put them in a bowl of salt water. That will the brine will bring out any bugs or anything like that, and reconstitute them so that they're they look fresh and pliable and mushroomy. And then I'll, trim up any dirty ends or whatever. And then I'll take those and I will dip those in a little bit of whipped up egg, and then dip them in flour. And then I will put them in a frying pan full of butter. Ugh. and I will fry those fuckers up. And they're going to be golden brown and absolutely delicious. Yep. That's my plan. That's my plan. Can't wait for it. Awesome. I think I'm going to do it this afternoon. Yeah, I'm going to rub them on my chest. I'm so excited about it.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Got any of that lunch and loaf left?
I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him with lunch and loaf.
I wouldn't waste morels on lunch and loaf. I think you can just get some plain old white button mushrooms for that.
Button mushrooms?
Yeah, that's what they call them.
Is it?
Yep.
I thought those were criminy.
The vagina criminy? Mushroom criminy? Episode.
Wow.
This whole episode is a criminy.
So top that. Did anything good happen to either of you this last week that comes anywhere near my exciting journey?
I can honestly say no. I had a shitty week. I had another Mercury in retrograde week. I had grappling with radio engineers for a full day to try and get a critical piece of equipment fixed that severely affected the ability for us to do our jobs well. And terrible week. Terrible week.
Larry, uh-huh. I want to point out that you work for a multi-million dollar national radio conglomerate.
Uh-huh.
You work for a one of the most powerful radio corporations on planet Earth.
That is true.
A station, a company with very intelligent personnel employed, and the owner of millions and millions of dollars worth of the best broadcast equipment known to man.
Theory, sure.
Why is your radio station held together with
bubble gum,
coconuts and bamboo, like the professor's radio kit on Gilligan's Island?
It's not that bad. We're dealing with two things. One, more and more reliance on digital/electronic technology as opposed to analog equipment, which is more difficult to maintain when you can't necessarily predict crashes, software upgrades that throw in quirks, that sort of thing. The other part of it is the building where we work and the equipment that we use now was installed at a time when the technology was not as advanced. So there are many things in this vast broadcast facility that are older and janky. And the older janky stuff...
Is that the technical term?
Yeah, that's what the engineers call it.
I'm the vice president for technical jank.
And so in many cases, the leap forward in some technology, some of the peripheral equipment cannot keep up with those advances. And if you don't upgrade everything at the same time, there are some things that are going to fail. You know, you guys know, because you both have used it, there is a standard piece of broadcast equipment called a Vox Pro that has been a part of things forever. It was one of the first uses of digital technology in a radio station before many stations had even gone to digital music. You know,
I used a Vox Pro just to illustrate. I remember using it in 1994 in Indianapolis, 27 years ago.
Yeah, and you were probably still playing CDs at the time.
Yes.
So that is an advanced piece of equipment. That piece of equipment has not changed that much in a long time.
Yeah.
And there are many other kind of versions of that available and a lot of different knockoffs. But once you get one of those that works, because it's pretty basic.
It's rock solid.
It doesn't have a lot of flexibility. It is, you're recording your voice, you're recording a phone call, you can do quick edit, bang, bang, in point, out point, make the edit. There are a couple of little advancements they've made over time, but it is a standalone piece of equipment that's generally the only thing you use it for. It is on a computer, it can be on a desktop, but that's kind of its single purpose.
And just so people, can get that have never seen one can get an idea. It's this screen It's a very simple screen. It's like, I don't know, one, if I remember right, 1 inch by, you know, 5 inches wide or something, where you can see a waveform and you can see the conversation that you're having with someone. But there's a flywheel on there, a weighted flywheel, right, that you can scrub left and right. So you can record something with someone. And as you're talking to them, you think, okay, I want to take out that part where they talked about their grandmother. And I don't want to play that back on the radio because nobody gives a shit about that. But I want to get right to this part where they say, you guys are great. Thank you for the concert tickets. I love you, Larry Morgan. I love your body. Mm-hmm. You know, and out, you're into the song. So you can take it after you get off the phone. You'll take it, scrub that over, press, you know, begin edit, scrub it over to the other part, close edit, and then you run the thing together. And it sounds, when it plays back, like it was one conversation where they just got right mm-hmm. to the point. And it makes you know, when I first got into radio, we had to do this, and Larry, I know you did this a lot of times. You had to do this on a reel-to-reel. Yep.
Audio tape.
You know,
sure.
Audio, where you get a razor blade, you get a little grease pencil out, you mark it here, and then you move the conversation over here, and you scrub the wheels, and then you do a splice with a razor blade
so
on there and
tape
it.
So how long would it take, when you guys were doing the reel-to-reel, what was the time frame from
you
when,
got
you, when
pretty
you finished
good
the call?
At it.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, at your peak, you're best at it. How long from when the call ended till that was ready to air?
Well,
you had to,
the thing.
Generally, you had to turn it around within one song a lot of the time if you were doing like
that's,
a winner.
That sounds insane.
You did. But here's the thing is you had to make strong choices.
Yeah.
Like you had to say, okay, I get this one edit or these two edits and that's it. And then
and you don't
it
get,
back
you
so
don't
that,
really get to listen back very,
oh,
very
right,
much.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with this thing,
you're
it's
also
so self fast.
You're probably self-editing more. Like in the moment, you're not letting things ramble on because you know you've got nothing but drive space.
And what you'll do, here's a cheat. Here's a cheat that radio DJs will do. I'm going to tell you an inside secret. What you'll do then, if you can't do more edits, is as when you go on live, you'll open the mic and you'll talk into
fake
the
first
callback.
Part, yeah.
Yeah. So you're like, hey, so Gina, you were just telling me that you're pretty excited about getting these tickets, right? And then you hit the thing and it starts playing. Oh, yeah, I'm so excited about it. This is really great. You guys are fantastic. And then you stop it and say, well, there you go. Another happy winner yeah. on K104. And, you know, it's a cheat, but it's a way to, you know exactly what I'm
yep,
talking about.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's a nightmare thinking about it. What if we were told no more digital editing, you have to go back to reel-to-reel tomorrow? It would just be like, whoa. I mean, I did the same thing in film school. I was cutting film. I was cutting and using tape, you know. That was the other thing you forgot to mention. There's this little, tiny, thin piece of tape that is just exactly the same width as audio tape, and you're very carefully trying to place that over, and it's in an editing block, and you're running, you know, running and gunning. You're not always getting it on there. Sometimes it's a little wonky, and you have to go fast, and you're running audio tape that literally has adhesive on the other side of it, and hope that edit actually sounds somewhat smooth. It's insane.
It was shocking that it worked as well as it did to me.
Well, you just knew when you were recording, after you got used to it. Like you knew when to pause, you knew when to give yourself an edit. Sometimes you'd even just, you know, clap or go beep and the caller would go, what the heck was that? Because when you're scrolling through real fast, you want to find
just,
the edit
just
point.
Scream edit.
Yeah.
Here.
Anyway, our Vox Pro started crapping out on Wednesday, and it is one of those pieces of equipment that you kind of come to rely on. They are super stable most of the time, so you're not always thinking about replacing those. But when they go down, you realize, especially for a station like us where we rely so much on listener interaction, whether we're actually or whether we're going back, there's a bank of stuff in there for me for like 6 years that I could go up and pull an old call and just use a piece of that just as a reaction. And when that disappears on you, you're like, oh no, we're going to sound like crap. So that was the thing. Replacing that was supposed to take 20 minutes and they finished it 8 hours later.
Oh.
Mm.
So that was that was just one day last week. So I didn't mean to take over the whole thing, but yeah, you had a beautiful time in the Sequoias, loved time with your family. I got to experience something new, and I did not. So.
We started school this week. First week,
yeah.
Of school.
Right. So Josh had his own hell, or is that a good thing?
No.
Owen is now in third
fourth.
Grade. Fourth grade.
Wow.
First. All right.
And he loves it. He loves going to school. We have like a little, he goes to an after school program, and he asked if he could stay longer to do that. So he's digging it. It's more the getting the homework done. And also soccer started this week. So it's like, and the soccer practices, we had our first practice yesterday, and it was,
what position do you play?
Dad.
are you a vocal dad, or are you just a chill hang back dad?
I used to be. And then I was like, you know what? I don't even just go play, just run it off. If they don't keep score, why the hell should I give a shit? Yeah. you know what I mean? Everybody wins. Yeah.
Wait, they don't keep score?
No, they do this year, but the previous years, they didn't.
It's not like there are, U.S. Soccer League scouts hanging out at these games. That's when parents get so insane at some of these things.
Well, if you don't keep score, though, how are you going to teach these kids pain and disillusionment?
They are now. The parents fill them with pain and disillusionment.
They don't keep score, but I do. I remind them. I'm like, you guys are losing big time. You know that, right?
Yeah. Every kid gets in the car, and there's some parent that goes, well, you really shit the bed today, didn't you, man?
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess you don't understand the concept of defense, do you?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, I guess we're not really getting dinner tonight either. But yeah.
I know you didn't win the game. You also lost the game. Let's think of it that way.
You lost the game, and you lost my love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, we started soccer practice, and it's that whole thing of running around after work that I forgot about. And then he's got soccer practice on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And I'm just like, well, how the hell am I going to get him home? Get his home. We got to get the homework done. Then we got to eat, get him to soccer, and then get him back home and take a bath. And, you know, I forgot about that mayhem of running around after school. And then it jumps back into your lap. And you're like, oh yeah, okay, this is a new stress that I forgot about. But yeah, it's good though to get him out. And I like, you know, it's good to see him out playing and everything. And I was a little. Here's the thing: is they did because they canceled soccer last year. There was no soccer, and so all the kids like skipped the year. And they do this thing where the coaches kind of keep track. They assign them a number. So that they, based on their skill, so the next year when the teams are drafting their players, they try to get them balanced. So like one coach doesn't get all the good players, and then one coach gets all the bad ones. So that you like they pick them by assigned numbers. Well, they didn't know what numbers they were because they skipped the year. So they had this thing where they did an evaluation, right, where they brought all from different age groups, brought them in, and just did practice for an hour, and they all just randomly assigned them a number. Well, this happened like right at the beginning, right at the end of like July, right when all those, you know, you don't have to wear masks outside. They lifted the mask mandate and everything like that. You don't have to wear masks outside. So all the kids, nobody's wearing masks, and they're all running around. It was a little weird. So he does that. Well, now they're starting practice, and I was a little tentative, like, well, I want him to wear a mask because this is coming. It's back. It's, you know, he's not vaccinated, and this is, it's going to get intense again. And I know they're all standing in line waiting to do drills and stuff like that. So I wasn't sure if all the other kids were going to wear masks. And sure enough, we got there, everybody had masks on. So it was comforting, like all the coaches and all the, even if the parents didn't have a mask on, they were sitting like 10 feet away from it. You know what I mean? But, and the coach, he said, I'll make them wear masks unless they're, you know, doing drills far away, they can pull them down. But, so that was kind of comforting, but yeah, we had
nice
first week of school.
It's got a new that world, out of the man. Way.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's weird.
Back in school, and they're fully back in school, and everybody has to wear a mask inside and all that stuff.
Yep. He gets tested every Monday. So
wow, really?
Yep.
Interesting. Oh man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's. I'm glad that the kids are back in school because I think that, you know, last year was a shit show. Uh-huh. The, you know, putting them on screens for, you know, several hours a day. Yeah. It's not good for them at that age, to be honest. And so to have them back is nice. Our kids' school doesn't start until Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
starts later. But what's great for me is Lara works at the school. So she'll take him in and work all day and then bring him home. I don't have to do shit.
Oh, see, that's the thing. When Josh was talking about that, I just, for me, between Charla and I think between preschool and when he turned 17, which was when he finally decided to take driver's ed, my memory of school years is nothing but just being in the car all the time. And it was 50-50 because Charla would do it in the, I would do it sometimes in the mornings. She would definitely do it in the afternoon. But then it was like he got into theater and he was playing some sports and there were all these other events. And it's by at the end of the day, I'd pick him up and take him home and inch along in frickin', you know, valley traffic. Nothing but cars.
Effed up part we have is because he goes to school in Los Feliz, which is 30 minutes away.
Oh, God.
So.
Oh, dude.
And soccer practice is in Sherman Oaks.
You have to go down the 101 south.
I go to 5. I go to 5 to the
still.
I go to the 5 to take that right down into Los Feliz, pick him up, and then for soccer I would have to go west to Sherman Oaks, the 5 to the 134 to the 101 to do that. And or if I want to come home, well, here's the Friday's fine because I get off at 3:30 and I have an extra half an hour to get there, right? The Tuesday practices are going to suck because I get done at 4, I got to go pick him up from school. Now I've got an hour and a half to kill before soccer practice. So do I come home? And then that's 30 minutes to come home. Now he's got an hour to, he's got like 30 minutes to do his homework. It's just a nightmare.
And then you get into serious drive time by that time. You wait that long.
Yeah. Now I'm also.
I got an answer for you. Simple answer. Two words. Metro pass. There's a bus route. You give him a map. And then let him do his homework on the bus. Fourth grader on the bus. I think he's old enough.
He's gonna make so many new friends.
I can't even get him to put his dishes away. Put the dish in the sink. I don't know where it's at. Okay.
He'd end up in Pacoima on the first day.
Dad, Larry, tell us about the exciting things that are coming up next week on this program.
Well, I wanted to throw this guy's out to you. This guy's out to you?
This guy's out to you? When did you start your chemo?
Oh, man. I wanted to throw
this... Get off your high horse, Morgan.
Yeah, that's right. Slope.
we haven't done a music episode in a while, and this is one that I've been thinking about a little recently because I've been having this conversation with other people, and I think this would be a really fun one to wrap up the summer next week as we go into Labor Day weekend this weekend, and we're really looking at pumpkin season coming up, that we have one last gasp of fun summertime before the dread and heaviness of the holidays. So, I wanted to suggest that we do...
Wait, the dread and heaviness? Yeah. What happened to you as a child? Fuck!
It's just
the dread and heaviness of the holidays?
Here's the problem. I so look forward to the holidays, and then it's always... comes and goes real fast, always a ton of work to do. By the time it's over, I'm like, I didn't even enjoy it. So, by the way, Halloween candy and pumpkin spice lattes in stores this week. So it is already there.
Yeah.
Giant display of candy corn in Ralph's. Who's buying that piece of crap old person Halloween candy?
Worse. Just anyway, sweet wax. That's all it
is. This is just a fun one. This is just a fun one, I think, for us to reminisce. And I wanted to see how you guys felt. How about favorite Saturday morning cartoon theme songs? We've done
We've
done like primetime themes. And in the past when we did Cowbell, got a little pushback from one of our YAF listeners. I'm not going to name names because I can't remember it. But it's like, what about Blue Oyster Cult? Well, we referenced Blue Oyster Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper, because of the Will Ferrell sketch. I mean, that was kind of a given. Right. What about Hair of the Dog by Nazareth? Yeah, I mean, there are some obvious ones. But Josh and Andy and I, we're like, not obvious, man. We like to dig deep. We like to go. So I'm going to give more parameters to these in the future. So Saturday morning cartoon theme songs that you remember, grew up with, love. And I'm going to bar some of the more obvious ones. Three come to mind for me. No Flintstones, no Jetsons, no Scooby-Doo. All right.
Hey, can I also, well, you know what? You already know what, well, okay. Yeah, okay. And what about,
But everything else is on the table.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. All right.
Can we just do cartoon themes? Because the one I want, I'm not sure, is on a Saturday morning.
I think you're fine.
All right, okay. Yep. Yep. It might have been on Saturday.
I can't wait for it because I remember
one of mine started on primetime, but I watched it on Saturday morning when it went into syndication. So I think we can open things up there. It could be live action.
I can't wait. You name a show that I watched, I can sing this. I'm like Rosie O'Donnell. I can sing you the entire song.
No one in the world has ever said I'm like Rosie O'Donnell.
I don't know that anyone's ever compared you to Rosie O'Donnell, that's for sure. Exactly. But I'm the same way, Andy. Those are so formative to me. And you know, we were only watching them once a week. It's not like we had the soundtrack to listen to or something. Although I was probably a nerd and recorded some of those themes on my little tape recorder, up next to the TV speaker. But yeah, you're right. Those things were so formative. I think for a lot of people, it's like that. So I think this will be a fun one. So we'll see what we come up with.
And people can certainly write in the meantime with
their
suggestions, their favorites. That would be fun to share at the same time. It's yourartificialfriends@gmail.com, or you can call in.
Yeah.
We have a YAF line. That YAF line number is 626-657-6428. 626-657-6428. Or, PM hat. Yeah. Hey, since I mentioned that,
we should have a backlog of calls here, should we?
Would you like? Yeah, let's see. Here's the first one coming in from the 707. Where's the 707 area code? No idea.
Don't know.
All right. Here we go. Oh wait,
Carrie from Vacaville.
Hold on, it's Carrie from Vacaville, but I want to hear the whole thing.
Hi there. I just listened to this week's episode. Oh, this is Carrie from Vacaville. When I was in high school, so like 79, 80, I started working in a veterinary clinic for a veterinarian that did ear cropping, so like Dobermans and Great Danes. Anyways, we would have to comb the ears, and so you tape this bundle inside the ear of soft cotton with some sticks in it to keep the ears erect, and then you would have to tape up the ears, and they would have to come in every week and get those bandages changed. And the vet that I worked for actually used ether to remove the adhesive off the ears. I'll never forget that smell. And it was in a old-fashioned tin can, almost like a flask, but it was it had a column shape to it, so it was just like straight size, but a conical shape, flat bottom with this little flask-like lid on the top. And we would saturate cotton balls and start working on those ears to get the adhesive tape off. Really crazy that they were using ether back in 79. Just thought you guys would like to know. And my own personal opinion, but ear cropping is one of the cruelest things you can do to a dog. Yeah. So don't crop the dog's ears. All right. My PSA for the day. Have a good week, y'all. Bye.
Well, all right. I think we can all co-sign on that.
Yeah,
you bet.
What? Why do they do that? Is it just cosmetic?
It's just cosmetic,
yeah,
right?
I think it goes back to breeding stuff. That's why they, clip tails on some dogs and things. And
human beings are just horrible.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
I mean, we're terrible. We're just terrible thing. Like, to look at a dog and be like, you know what? That would look better if I cut its tail off.
I think that those tails on those particular, like Dobermans and so forth, they're pretty firm and they whip around and they probably knock things off tables and so forth. Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
also have sharp teeth and bite people. You could potentially just yank all their teeth out.
Make them like Bumbles and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah. My kid spilled some Kool-Aid. I'm going to cut his hand off. That's annoying.
What's great about that call from Carrie, number one, it's Vacaville.
Yeah.
It's not Vacaville?
No, it's Vacaville. They call it Vacaville. The locals call it Vacaville.
It's back of Thanksgiving. Going on vacation. Anyhow, she pulled together two different things there.
Yeah.
One was last episode, me talking about spending my life savings on my fucking cat at the vet.
Right.
It's up to $2,000 this month on Tuxie, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And she worked in the ether that you brought up.
Yeah, good job.
Josh, your dad pouring ether on the car, on the carburetor to start the car?
The snowblower.
Snowblower. Yeah. It's a starting fluid, right, that he's pouring in there? It's not actually ether.
I don't remember.
Is it?
I don't remember. It was a spray. So I couldn't, maybe it wasn't ether. I can just have it in my head that
when I think of ether, I think of what was that?
Maybe
that Michael Caine movie where he's a doctor. Good night, you kings of England, you princes of tides. Good night, you kings of queens.
Yeah, I think, and he would huff ether, right? To
he'd huff ether to.
Well, then maybe it wasn't
medicate himself.
All right, so maybe it's something like this Penray 5315 high ether content starting fluid in an aerosol can.
I'll be damned. High ether content. You're right.
Appreciate.
I guess it is just a fluorocarbon or a hydrocarbon.
Right.
So makes sense.
Yep.
I'm sure it causes cancer.
Fluorocarbon, he says.
No, not fluorocarbon, it's a hydrocarbon.
Oh, sorry, right? I got my carbons mixed up.
Yeah,
get my carbon out of my ass.
Wow.
I got another phone call here. This one from the 503 area code. I have no idea where these places are. Right, now we know the 707 is vacuum.
It is not. It is somewhere in North Carolina, but those are.
Hey, fellas, this is Dave. You guys need a car guy. I could be ether isn't called ether anymore for certain rigs. It's called starting fluid.
Yes.
That's good stuff. A lot of the art parts start. Starts everything. Small engines, big diesels. Everybody likes buying ether because of the smell and how well it starts vehicles. You guys have a good day. Talk to you later. Bye.
It starts everything. I sprayed one on a piece the other day. Started that thing right up.
Spray it on your Vox machine.
Yeah, put it on your Vox Pro. Hey, bring in the ether.
I'm just going to start spraying it on anything that doesn't work anymore.
Exactly.
It's okay. Engineers, it's cool. I got it. I sprayed ether on it.
Yep. Just keep it like in a little pouch on your belt, just like an old pager. Just walk around.
It's about as good as what they've been doing.
Okay, my question for you is this.
Mm-hmm.
I see two more phone calls here because we missed a week.
Yeah.
I see two more phone calls here. Should I save them for next week's episode?
Yes.
Should I do that? All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're going to do then.
All right.
That's the cliffhanger right there. All that right. is the inducement that people have to tune in next week is to hear the phone calls that, well, the individuals that did this, they know they called in and they know they'll hear them back then. And for everyone else, their appetite is whetted for, whetted.
And we got a jam-packed Yapsack as well. So I think maybe next week is we get right to your cards and letters, your phone calls, and our special musical segment. That should be a very entertaining show.
You're saying next week we're going to flip it around and come right out of the shoot. We usually do it last. We're going to come right out of the shoot with the email and the phones
coming
at the top.
I say
it's going to be an evergreen episode of excellent content with absolutely no topicality whatsoever. That's what I think.
That's what we like.
That's what I strive for.
Mm-hmm. So, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the annual vagina episode. Thank you for joining us.
Larry, how can people get a hold of you?
Well,
careful. Be so careful.
Yeah, everything in my brain I can't say. You can. Once again, that email address, if you want to drop us a note, which we might be able to read next week, yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Instagram @TheLarryMorgan. How about you, Joshy?
You can shoot me an email at joshuajfligger@gmail.com.
All right.
And Andy.
Andy, you got four things.
He has to
you?
Be invited.
Yeah,
he won't say it until we invite him.
Hey, Andy, is there any way somebody can get a way to connect with you in like four different forms?
You can hold me like a six pack. No. Yes, you can. You can find me on Twitter, Andy_Chanley. You can find me Andy Chanley on the Instagram and DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook.
Have you kicked the Milwaukee's best NA habit? Is that done?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, good. Good. That moment, that part of your life is over now. You don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't lie to myself
anymore. It's a dark area of your life.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, when he starts strumming the guitar, that means the sweet release of... Don't extend the episode by coming up with another topic. When he strums, that means we're almost free.
Well,
so just, I don't know why that's not a trigger for you.
Well, are we going to strum or are we going to do the metal version?
I can't. We got to go back.
We might go traditional.
Right. Let's go the other direction.
When the people that you know don't like you and you treasure friendships then tune into this podcast.
This one here.
With your artificial friend.
All right, it's over. Finally.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.